Okay, so now we're recording it. It's officially 11 o'clock. Jose, hang in there for a second. You too, Carol. So everybody, welcome to the Power Hour with Daryl and the Power Agent Program and the call. I'm very excited. We're going to have a great call today. We have a lot to cover. Now, for those of you that have not been on the call before, let me just tell you a couple of things. First of all, everybody is muted right now, and so the reason why we do that is so that way we get a good recording, but I really do like your participation. So if you want to ask me a question or interrupt me, which is totally great, I love it when you interrupt me, you just have to hit *6 on your keypad, and that will take you off mute, and that means I and everybody else will be able to hear you. Now, when you do that, it takes a minute for it to kick in, so just be, you know, give it about, not a minute, it takes about 20 seconds, so just be patient, do it one time. I also want to welcome everybody from all over the world. I know we've got people overseas, and I don't know what time it is over there, but thank you for getting up early or staying up all night. The purpose of this call every month is to help you guys focus on the next 30 days. You know, my thinking is if every 30 days we stop working on our business, stop working in our business and work on it. And if you do that every month and if you improve 10% a month, that's 120% in a year. So part of what we're going to do on this call is, number one is we have a magazine that we post on the website for you. We had a technical problem with that, although it got fixed, and we sent out an email to everybody last minute this morning. You may have gotten it, you may not have. That email had a link to the magazine. Ironically enough, as soon as we sent the email to you, the technical problem did get fixed. So the magazine is on the powerprogram.com website, and after you use your username and password, you'll be able to view it and look at it. I'm going to talk about a couple of things on the site. So if you're not in front of a computer, you're not able to get to the site, don't worry about it. Just maybe make a mental note or write it down what I'm talking about, and you'll be able to find it later on. So that's one of the things we're going to do. And the other thing we're going to do is, to me, this is the most important part, is to actually give you some specific coaching, personal coaching about something that you need help with. Now, the best way to do that is if you email me ahead of time before the call, something that you need help with. And this month we got a couple of people. And the funny thing is Carol and Jose both asked the same question. And so I'm going to start off with them. And then after I address this objection that they're getting from FSBOs, then we're going to actually open up the call to anybody else that needs help with something. Okay. So, Jose, Carol started us by talking about, Jose, I want you to unmute yourself if you hit *6 and just give it like, you know, 15 seconds or something, and I'll be able to hear you. Just do it one time.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I hear you, Jose. Thank you. Great for following instructions. Jose, before you start, let me just say what Carol had said before people actually got on the call, and that is... and by the way, I just got an email from somebody. I really try not to pay attention to email. Somebody just emailed that the link is not working for them to get into the Power Program website. Do me a favor, if you can call my office or just do it after the call. Let's focus on the call right now. If you can't get into the website right now, just make some notes and we'll fix it after the call. Carol's question was... there was a FSBO, she did an appointment. The FSBO was like, you know, bring me a buyer and I'll pay you 3%, but I'm not going to list with you. And that was essentially the objection. So, Jose, you wanted to add or say something about that?
Yeah, that was a really good question that she had. Mine was slightly different because I wasn't at an appointment. I was on the phone making the call. And it was different in the sense that he stated – that he'll be willing to pay a commission if I bring him a buyer, but he wants to give it 30 days first before he would be willing to do that. So I asked him, so you mean to tell me if I bring you someone right now, you would not be willing to pay the commission? He goes, yes, that's right. I'm waiting 30 days first. So now
okay.
I just kind of wished him well and went on my way. That was the deal.
Okay, good. All right, so Jose, so you got the objection on the phone, and so he didn't want to give you the appointment for 30 days. Okay.
Right.
So there's a couple of ways to handle that. And by the way, everybody, here's what I want you to understand about real estate. Real estate is not a science. Real estate is like art, and there's different forms of art. There's, you know, people who sing. There's people who act. There's people who play in a band. And then, of course, there's art like painting and sculpting and et cetera. So real estate's an art form, which means that you can get to a level of mastery where you're a famous artist in real estate. But it doesn't mean that you're not that you're going to hit the ball out of the park and succeed 100% of the time. So in understanding that, you do your best that you can, and don't beat yourself up if it doesn't work. So I just want to say that first, Jose, okay?
Yeah.
Because part of the problem with this objection, when a FSBO says, you know, I'm going to try it on my own, give me a call in 30 days, and then we can talk. Part of the problem could have been, Jose, is that you asked for the appointment too soon, okay? And it's hard for me to know that without me actually hearing the call. Do you follow me so far?
Yeah, I follow you. Yeah, but I didn't even get to that point. I was going through the script, and right when I asked him if he was willing to work with agents, then he threw that at me right then and there.
Okay. So okay, good. Well, that's good to know. All right. So let's just take it from the top then, Jose. So you using the Power Agent Dialogue, which I'll just go through it real quick for everybody on the call. Hi, I'm Cole. Let's do it real quick, Jose. You be the seller, okay? And you throw the objection at me, and I'll show you how I would handle it, okay? So I want you to do what the FSBO did to you, okay? All right? All right, so ring.
Hello?
Yes, hi. I'm calling about the house for sale.
Okay, how can I help you?
Yeah, is it still available, sir?
Yes, still available.
All right. Well, hi. This is Daryl Davis from Power Realty, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking. This is really nice. I came across your ad, and the house sounds really great. And I was wondering, are you working with agents at all in the sale of your property?
No, not right now. I am putting it on the market for 30 days. I just put it up for sale a couple of days ago, and I want to give it 30 days. Before I work with anyone.
Awesome. Okay. Well, that's great. That's super. Well, I'm looking at a copy of the ad, but boy, the property sounds really nice. Did you write this your ad yourself?
Yes, I did.
Well, you did a good job. I see it's got 4 bedrooms, 2 baths, colonial, and I'm just curious. The property, it doesn't show the property size. Do you know how big the lot is, or how big the backyard is?
The lot size is almost 10,000 square feet.
Wow. Okay. So that's really great for our area. And you've got your basement. Is it finished basement or?
Well, we don't actually have a basement, but no.
All right, Jose. Don't get picky. Jose, it's a freaking role play. Don't get picky on me over here.
I was just messing with you. Hey, I got a smile on my face, right?
Yeah, so you want to throw in there, you stupid realtor, there is no Florida, there's no basements here in Florida. All right, Jose, you bum. All right, now, but watch, let's see what I just did, though, Jose, okay? Watch what I did. This is very important, everybody, what I just did. Now, let me first ask you a question, Jose. Did I get further in the call than what you did?
Yes.
Okay, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to show you exactly what happened, okay? And this is now the answer to your question. When you said, I said, when are you working with brokers in the sale of your property? The homeowner said, no, we're going to do it on our own for 30 days. And after that, then we're going to entertain working with agents. Instead of handling that objection, what I did was, oh, okay, that sounds great. I understand. Well, you know, I'm looking at a copy of the ad. It says, it seems really nice. Did you write this ad yourself? And then you answered that question, okay? So, and it was when I did that, I basically how do I explain this? When he threw the objection out, we're not going to list, we're doing it on our own for 30 days, or we're not working with brokers, I just ignored it and continued with the script, which is to start asking questions about the property.
Mm.
Do you see what I did, Jose?
Yep. Yep.
And,
well,
and I'm telling
you've taught several times. It's just, you know, it's just hard until you start going through it to kind of remember all the different things and how to kind of approach each different conversation.
Well, that's why you're in the power program and you're on this call, Jose, is because, you know, there's so much that I can teach in the program, whether it's a seminar or even the 3-day sure results. And then once you start to go out in the world and actually apply it, you know, you're not going to retain 100% that I teach you. That's why it's important to be on these calls and to be a part of the program. You know, I tell a story about me being in Hawaii several years ago, and I decided to try surfing, you know, on a surfboard. And, you know, I was horrible, and the guy kept explaining to me how to get up on the board, and this is how you do it, and I just couldn't get it. He got so frustrated with me, he says, you know what, somehow you just got to find your own way up on the board. And the guy paddled away and left me out in the middle of the ocean. So it was actually true and funny, and now I was scared that sharks were going to eat me. But when he said that to me, it taught me something about training people, is that, you know, there's a point A and a point B, and you want to get to point B, and real estate's an art form, and you try and, you know, teach as best as you can, but once you actually try and get up on the surfboard, sometimes you got to find your own way. So that's why it's not a science, and there's a lot of instinct involved in getting good on the telephone. So
yeah.
Let's go back, though, to what we just said. So what you want to do is that when everybody listen up, when you start with the dialogue, and I'll go through the dialogue again, and by the way, for those of you that want the actual printed dialogue that Jose is talking about, it's in the Power Program website. After you log in, you have to log in first, there's a word up top called Classroom. And when you go to Classroom, you'll see dialogue for sellers. And you'll see dialogue for FSBOs and dialogue for expireds. And it's a PDF form, and you can print it out. So going back to the dialogue, Jose, hi, I'm calling about the house for sale. Yes, is it still available? Yes, it is. Well, hi, this is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. How are you? Fine. The reason why I was calling, are you working with brokers to sell your property? Now, he threw out the objection, which was, no, not for the next 30 days. But here's what's important that everybody on the call understands. When you ask the question, are you working with brokers to sell your property, they may throw out any objection. You know, it could be the 30 days. It could be no. We have a friend in the business, and we're going to list with somebody. It doesn't matter. When you ask that question, are you working with brokers in the sale of your property, and they throw an objection at you, it does not matter what the objection is. I want you to totally ignore it. Do not address it. Do not talk about it. Do not handle it. Don't get stumped by it. The next thing out of your mouth, which is real, I don't know if it's actually in the dialogue, so I'm giving it to you now, and that is, well, I'm looking at a copy of the ad, and it sounds really good. I'm curious, did you write it yourself? Now, when you do that, it takes you off the objection, and it puts you back on track with asking the questions about the property, because the next phase in the dialogue with the FSBO is asking questions about the house. How many bedrooms? How many baths? What improvements have you done? And I want you to envision in your mind that this point of the call is kind of like ping pong or tennis. You know, you serve a question, they answer it, and when they answer it, it's like they serve the ball back to you, ask another question. So you're going back and forth, question, answer. Now, what's really awesome about this is when you're asking the questions about the home, and that's what your first set of questions should be. I want you to ask questions that are similar to what any buyer would ask, you know, about the bedrooms, about the square footage, about did they do any major improvements, what's the best feature about the property that I might have missed in the ad, how old is the property, the square footage, all of those questions. Is there anything new? Is the boiler new or the roof? Or when you ask these questions, what's really awesome is each question you get out of you that they answer, you're now building rapport. And that is the real purpose of the call. The real purpose, and I want you to keep this in mind too, Jose, and everybody else, is I want you to not be committed, and some of you that have attended my seminars recently, you've heard me say this because this has been a big part of what I've been training, is that the mistake that we make when it comes to calling for sale by owners is that we think our commitment, our objective, is to get the appointment, which is not. As a matter of fact, the more you focus on getting the appointment, the more you're stressing yourself out, that you're setting up a win-lose scenario. And I do not want you to be committed to getting the appointment. I want you to be committed to building a relationship with another human being on the telephone. Now, if you're committed to building a relationship, two things happen. Number one, whether you get the appointment or not, you still won. You still were effective because no matter what happened on the call, you got to know somebody a little bit better than before you made the call. But the second thing is, if you're committed to building a relationship with them and you accomplish that, the appointment will naturally happen. They will invite you to come over. So you don't have to force the close. I don't want you to think close anymore. I don't want you to think end result anymore. I want you to think relationship building. Now, how do you build a relationship with somebody is you've got to ask questions. So if Jose, you made the call with a commitment to building a relationship with this person, and they said, this is very profound. I'm going to give you a very woo-woo thing here, Jose, and hopefully it's going to create a light bulb for you. I suggest when you made the call to this guy, you were committed to getting the appointment. So when he threw out an objection like, give me 30 days and then we'll talk. Well, that shuts you down because, okay, I ain't getting the appointment. But if you are committed to building a relationship with him, when he said, give us 30 days, you would have been like, well, that's fine because I don't care about 30 days. I don't even care about the appointment. I just want to get to know you. And you would have naturally said, all right, well, that's cool. Well, let me ask you something here. I'm looking at a copy of the ad, and it looks really nice. Did you write it yourself? Can I ask you, how big is this? And then you would have just gone on with the questions. Is this making sense, Jose?
It's making 100% sense. The fact that you mentioned, that just regardless of the objection right there, that to me just, that lit a light bulb, and that changes the whole playing field for me. It's perfect.
This was almost a religious experience, wasn't it, Jose?
It is. And just kind of further on that, it's more of a testimonial, because this happened on Monday. I made 5 phone calls. I was able to talk to 3 people. This was one of them. And I was able to get one appointment. That appointment that I went into, I spent 3 hours at this guy's house.
Wow.
He's got two Bentleys in his garage. You know, it's a $600,000 house. We talked forever. And
awesome.
I've spoken to him a couple of days since then. I didn't get the listing, right?
Okay.
You told me not to get the listing.
Hold on, Jose. Whoever just called out, I heard you. Just hang on 1 second. Go ahead, Jose. Finish.
Okay. Yeah, so I didn't get the listing. I didn't go with the intention of getting the listings. But after I spoke to him a couple of days afterwards, and he's gonna work with me. Right, he agreed that he's going to work with me. And I asked him, you know, why did you make the decision since you've had your house on the market, you know, now for like 35, 45 days? And he goes, let me tell you, I've had over 100 brokers, agents like yourself calling me, asking me similar same questions that you've had asked me. But out of all of those people that called, there's only one person that's been inside of my house, and that's you, because you asked to come over and you wanted to see the house. And I got goosebumps when he said that. I said, man, this shit works. Sorry.
All right, now, Jose, I'm going to tell you 2 other things. And first of all, I just want everybody to understand the dialogue that I taught you, and that's on the website, the fact that you just said what you said, that, you know, you got a hold of 3 people. First of all, you call 5 FISBOs, awesome. You got a hold of 3. You got 1 appointment. That's a great closing ratio, 1 out of 3. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I'm going to give you additional coaching that you didn't ask for, and I just want everybody to be aware of this, is that, you know, when you're on an appointment that long, like 3 hours, and I understand he called you back and you're going to get the listing, and that's good. That's awesome. But I want everybody else, and you two, to understand something, is that one of the things when you're looking to have a breakthrough in being a listing agent and getting listings, one of the things that happens for new agents making that commitment to being a listing agent is once they get in the door, they're so nervous, they're so happy they got this appointment. And they go through the house, they tour the house, and they build a relationship with the homeowner. And they're so happy that they had a breakthrough, that they're getting along with the homeowner, they're almost afraid to screw it up by actually being aggressive and asking for the listing.
Yep.
So I want you to make sure, because if you spent 3 hours there and didn't leave with the listing, I'm really happy that he called you back. But I just want you to look at that perhaps psychologically what you did is you were so happy that you had a breakthrough and they were getting along with this person, you were afraid to screw it up by asking for the listing when you were belly to belly with them aggressively. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sure does.
And so you want to, that'll be the next phase of mastery, of being a master surfer or an artist or a sculptor, is that don't forget what your purpose is. When you do finally get over there and you do build rapport, I want you to imagine that if this is somebody that you like and this is somebody you think you can help, then not for your sake, but for their sake, you should encourage them to list with you or to list with a realtor, because all FSBOs lose money as long as you believe that and understand that. Now, the last thing I'm going to say, and then there was a lady that chimed in, and I want to let her talk. The last thing is I just want to remind everybody the dialogue for calling, and you get an answering machine. Have you been using that dialogue, Jose, when you get the voicemail, the answering machine?
Yes, I've used that dialogue. I actually have one that voicemail was full, so I sent her a text. And she replied that she was on a cruise on vacation to call her on Sunday. So
awesome. All right. So for those of you that aren't familiar with that dialogue, the dialogue for leaving when you get a voicemail is to say, I get the answering machine beep and I go, "Hi, this is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. The reason why I was calling is I noticed your ad in the paper. And I was I see you're selling your house, and I have some important information about that. I could even possibly have somebody interested, but I'm not too sure. I got to first get a little bit more information. So if you could give me a call back as soon as possible, I'd appreciate it." And that's the dialogue. Now, what's really awesome about that dialogue, gang, is when you leave a message to a for sale by owner identifying yourself as an agent and they call you back, that's a really great call. They're like almost halfway home in giving you the appointment. Now, the important information is kind of ambiguous. I'm not saying that I definitely have somebody. I could have somebody, but first I need to talk to you just to get a little bit more information so you can give me a call. When they call you, you just do the dialogue the way it's printed, and they say, you call me about my house for sale. You left me a message. Yeah, okay, I was looking at a copy of the ad. I was wondering if you work with brokers to sell your property. Oh, so you are trying to do it on your own. Well, I'm looking at a copy of the ad. It looks really nice. I'm just curious. Did you write that yourself? Well, let me ask you this. How many bedrooms? And then you continue with the dialogue, okay? Jose, did this help you?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, great. Now, somebody was chiming in. Who was that nice lady?
That was Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Daryl.
Okay, go ahead. What's your question?
I started off with the question, but then you dropped the last half of it off, and that didn't help. My question was, I've been in 26 years, and I have worked with FSBOs where I got 3% for selling their home while they were a FSBO, because I got a paper sign saying they would pay me for that person. All right. However, I ran into this one, and I'm coming from three different states of selling, Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Florida, where it is illegal if somebody says, "I don't care what you ask for my house, I don't care what you get, just give me $20,000 and the rest is yours." That's illegal. I know that. However, this one is saying, and I don't know, it's possible, how do you do it? They say, "I'll give you 3% if you sell it at my price, if you ask $134.9, okay, that's the price. All right, I'll give you 4% if you can get me $140,000. All right, how do I tell a buyer, "I got this house to show you with a FSBO sign in the yard. He's only asking $134, but I'll sell it to you for $140. All right. That sounds kind of stupid. I mean, if I'm a buyer, I'll say, "Forget it. I'll go with the person by myself." But,
right.
Is that illegal for them to pay that, do that?
All right. So I'm not too sure of the legal aspect, but I can tell you from a marketing standpoint, that why that doesn't work for the seller. So, you know, you've got a few questions in there, Carol, and this goes back to your original question about, hey, you know, bring me a buyer and I'll pay you 3%, okay? The first part that you have to explain to a seller is that whatever the problem with saying, hey, listen, well, I'll just role play it with you, Carol. That'll be the best way. So, Carol, do you happen to have a daughter? I'm curious. Do you have a daughter?
I have two daughters and a son.
All right, awesome. So whether they're married or not right now, let's pretend that they're not married and they're going to get married. And, you know, you decide as mom that you want to, like, help your daughter out and buy, like, an exceptional wedding cake. I mean, you want to buy the best wedding cake that people are talking about for years to come. So you go to six different bakers. And you say each one of the bakers, listen, I want the best cake that you guys can bake for 200 people. Now, I'm not paying you anything because I'm going to look at the six different cakes from the six different bakers. And when it's done and I see each one, whichever one I like the best, that's the one I'm going to actually give my money to. Now, Carol, here's my question. How many of these six bakers are going to roll up their sleeves, spend their time, money, and energy and resources to bake you a cake? How many?
None of them,
exactly. None. Because what you did there is you didn't have any one baker rolling up their sleeves, making the commitment to you because you didn't make the commitment to them. When you say to the real estate agents, hey, bring me a buyer and I'll pay you a commission, you don't have any one agent rolling up their sleeves, spending their money, their time to market your property to all the other agents who would bring the buyers. That's the first problem. The second problem is, let's say, Carol, that you, because you're showing the house and you're taking on full responsibility that's involved with this, and so some buyer, quote-unquote buyer, they come to your house and they fake a fall and they hurt themselves. So now they're going to sue you to get, you know, damages. Now, you know it was a fake and you're very frustrated, but, you know, hey, once a lawsuit happens, you can't avoid it. Here's my question, Carol. Would you go to court without any representation?
No.
No, so you probably hire an attorney. But let's pretend that you didn't. Let's pretend that you go to court and you don't have any representation. And then in addition to that, Carol, you actually pay the buyer who's suing you. You're paying for their attorney to actually work against you and sue you. Would you do that? No, because that's even like double, like, not smart. What happens when you're opening up your property to the other agents and you say, hey, listen, bring me a buyer and I'll pay you 3%, the problem is the agents that are coming in with the buyers are actually representing the buyer. They're not representing you. Their fiduciary responsibility is just to their buyers. So in essence, what you're doing is you're paying 3% to have a licensed, trained agent by the state of Florida work against you. Now, that just doesn't make any sense in any rule book. If you're willing to make that investment of the 3%, then why don't you invest another 3% where I will represent you with all these other agents that are coming with their buyers? And not only that, but I suggest, because of the network I have and because of the marketing my company has and because of all the extra work that I do, I'm actually going to bring more buyers, which is going to help drive the price. My point is, my 3% is not even going to cost you because I probably will net more money in your pocket than if you did it yourself.
Right.
So does that make sense, Carol?
Definitely.
All right. Now, but there's something else bigger, and that's the and here's the problem that has to be conveyed to a homeowner. See, first of all, I would have done all that. I would have used those metaphors and analogies to handle that type of objection. But the other problem that really exists here is still the homeowner thinks that whatever price that they can sell it at is going to be the same price that we would sell it at. In other words, they think that they can net this more money because they're not paying the commission. But they'll pay the 3% commission only if they still net what they want. So they want you to ask a higher price. Which, by the way, let me go back to one other thing that I didn't say. The problem also for a homeowner is when they, you know, the problem is, let's say, I'm trying to think of an example of this, an analogy, I mean, is, okay, so what happens is that when you have a price for a product and it creates when you put different prices on the same product, it creates confusion in the marketplace. And a lot of people know this now. So, for example, like our vacuum broke, and so yesterday we went out and we wanted to buy a Dyson vacuum cleaner, which a lot of people know this is a very expensive vacuum. And by the way, it's worth every penny. But we went to the store and we saw it for the number that we saw it for, and I thought, well, that seems kind of high. And now I start to question, well, where else is this vacuum available? It turns out that we found it, for $200 less than the asking price that we saw it at. And I started to think, you know, that's a problem because of the internet. It makes it so easy for people to actually get clear about what is the best possible price for anything. And so if that's the best possible price, why would I go anywhere else and buy it? So the problem that a homeowner has is that that if they tell the agents, you know, here's the price that I want, so some agents will show it at this price and some agents will show it at that price, what will happen is all the buyers that would work with those agents are not going to actually get in to see the house because the agent's not going to show it to the buyers because there's different prices on it. So essentially the seller misses out on all of these other buyers that are being worked with agents. So they might as well not even have agents come into the house because they're not going to show it. Now, of course, the homeowner might say, well, if I'm the lowest price, then the buyers will come to me. No, that's assuming that they're going to come to you. The serious buyers, they don't work with for sale by owners because they want the representation of an agent. And then I would use Carol, that eBay analogy. Do you remember me doing the Ethan Allen and eBay analogy?
No.
Okay. If let's say you were going to buy a couch, you can buy it in two places. You can, and I'm going to give you a second one. Do you remember this now? Yeah, the seminar, right? So real quick for people that, and I'll review it real quick, is that if someone were going to buy a couch from Ethan Allen, they know they're paying top dollar, or Ray Moore and Flanagan. The only reason why somebody would buy a couch on eBay is because they're looking to save money. The types of buyers that go to Ray Moore and Flanagan or Ethan Allen are not committed to stealing a house. They're looking, or stealing a couch. They're looking for a good quality couch from a company they can trust. Whenever you take anything, and I'll tell you, this is another good one, Carol. If you were to go to Kelly Blue Book, like do this yourself. Everybody on this call, I recommend you do this yourself. I want you to go to Kelly Blue Book, and I want you to type in your car. I want you to type in the miles and the year and the make and the model and all that stuff. And Kelly Blue Book's going to ask you, are you going to buy it privately or are you going to buy it from a dealer? And it will always show you on the private side that it's about 10% less than what you could get if it's sold through a dealership. This is true about anything, whether it's cars or furniture or computers or technology. It doesn't matter. When somebody is selling it individually, i.e., let's say putting it on Craigslist, all of the other consumers that would go to Craigslist are going to Craigslist because they're looking for a bargain. There is no way that a for sale by owner can put their ad out there and say, I'm selling my house, and they're going to sell it at the same price that a realtor will. It's impossible because there is nothing in any other industry where that is true. Because the types of buyers that they attract, the people that will intentionally go to their home, are committed to getting a deal. Here's the other thing, too. When a buyer goes directly to a seller, there is concerns and questions about the property and the process and how does it work, and is the seller telling me everything they're supposed to, And if I'm going to present the offer to the seller, what number should I come in at? And am I going too low? Am I going too high? A buyer, when they go to a seller, there's so many different questions they have and creates a sense of fear. So what helps compensate for all of those questions and concerns is they do this. Well, if I can get it at this price, it'll be worth it. And so the buyer, even if it is a serious buyer who's willing to work with an agent, if they put an offer in on a FSBO, because of all the associated questions that come into play when they don't have somebody watching their back, they get so concerned and worried, the only way to compensate for that is, well, as long as I can get it at a discount, it makes sense. Is this helping you, Carol, at all?
It is. See, the first problem with this lady is they're under market, and that's the reason I called her to say, you know, if you're listed with an agent, I know the market. I just sold two here. Excuse me. And she's like, oh, well, I have a friend, and they told me this was my house. I said, well, apparently they didn't tell you right, because the market sold. Mine just sold for $147,500, and you're asking $134,900. And she said, well, excuse me, they wanted a quick sale, and that's why they were doing it. So that's why she said, well, if you can sell it for more money, we'll pay you 4%. But I feel it's unethical to go tell any buyers that I'm working with, like I said, this is a higher price if you buy it through me. And so, you know, it's like a lot of, I'll send you a letter and you can, I'll sign it saying I'll pay you that commission, which he has not done yet.
Here's the problem with this woman,
right,
Carol. Hang on. The problem with this woman, Carol, is that, first of all, have you gone over to see the house yet or no?
I went right there. I was there. She showed me the house. It's a great house, and she's about $15,000 to $20,000 under.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm really confused now. So how old is this, a husband and wife?
No, it's a brother and sister. The mother died. It was the mother's house.
Okay. And is everything okay over there? Are they having some arguments, family fighting about the property or what?
No, they live together and they just want to get unloaded, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. Well, here's probably what I would have asked is probably come in something like this. If, Mr. or Mrs. Seller, let me ask you a question. If you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I can help you sell this property quickly, and what you'd wind up netting in your pocket is, an extra $10,000 more than what you were hoping for, if I could sell it quickly and put $10,000 in your pocket more than what you were planning, would that be of interest to you? That's what I would have started. And
yeah.
Once they say yes to that, they, in a sense, if I know that that's the list price, what I just said I'm going to do, when they just said yes to that, they already mentally just signed the listing agreement. I just now have to show them why I said that. So somewhere in that conversation, Carol, you muddied the water, or you let them muddy the water. I mean, this sounds like this should have been a clear listing for you, and you went in the wrong way with it. You started the conversation the wrong way, and then you made it more about the buyer and showing it to other property and other buyers and blah, blah, blah. So you convoluted the whole thing and kind of muddied it up. Does that make sense?
It does.
Go right on.
That's
all right.
Why I needed you to answer the question.
I think it took a long way in getting to answering the question, but I think we answered a bunch of other questions that probably helped people too. So I really appreciate that. Thank you so much, Carol. Now, anybody
okay.
else? You have any? Carol, if you'll hit *6 on your keypad to help mute you, go back to that. Does anybody have any other questions you need coaching on in our last 20 minutes here? And if you do, what you need to do is just hit *6 on your keypad one time and give it about 10 seconds, and then I'll be able to hear you. So does anybody else have something you need help with?
Yes, Daryl, I do.
Who's this?
Hi, this is Marianne.
Marianne from where?
I'm out in Long Beach, California.
All right, Marianne, how you doing? You woke up early for us. I'm so excited.
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't want to miss it.
What can I do for you, Mary?
Well, I have a listing, and it's overpriced for the area, probably by $25,000.
Okay.
And it's in an area where culturally I'm dealing with a lot of different cultures and different beliefs. They're all into this feng shui, and there's a stairway as soon as you walk in the house, and the house is facing south, and it's very interesting. I've never run into this before, how particular everybody's being about this house and why they don't want it and won't make offers. So before I took this listing, one of the neighbors approached the seller, and it's the children selling the house for the mom. She's in a nursing home.
Okay.
So the neighbor approached them and offered to buy the house for $635,000 cash.
Okay.
And, you know, and they were okay with that, except they had already told me they were going to list it with me. So they continued the listing, but I put that exclusionary clause in there.
Yeah.
So that if, you know, if I don't sell it, this guy can. So I need to approach them right now, and truth be told, they're insisting that I hold open houses. And Dell, I don't want to work in this area. I mean, it's just not an area where I'm really interested in developing any business.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then it takes me away from my own marketplace, which is Long Beach, that I love to do open houses. So I need to approach them, ask them for, you know, to come down. I was thinking that I was going to ask my escrow company to give me an estimated HUD one for the price that I'm going to ask them to reduce it to, which is going to be probably $680. And if I can show them that at that price, I'll be netting them more than what they already have for the cash buyer at $635, that they should still stick with me so I can get my commission. How would you approach that conversation?
Sure, Marianne. What is the current asking price?
$698.
Okay. Now, first of all, did you do an exclusion for the neighbors, like indefinitely?
For the duration of my listing, and
yeah.
I took yes, I did.
Yeah. Okay. So the first mistake, everybody, is I'm sorry that I'm leading that way, Marianne. Okay.
No, that's
so the
good.
First
that's why I'm here.
The first screw up, Marianne. I don't mean it that way. But, you know, but we learn from our mistakes, right? So the first thing is whenever you do exclusions, you do not want to do it the life of the listing, because every month that goes by, you're spending more money, more time, more energy on your part, and you're not getting reimbursed for it. So whenever I did any kind of exclusions, I always told the seller, listen, if they're serious about buying, if they came to you now, but you sign this listing, what we'll do is I'll give you an exclusion from that for 2 weeks. And there's two things that happen about that. Number one is if they're serious, they'll step up within 2 weeks. If they're not serious, they're not going to. That's number one. Number two is if they're on the fence of being serious, by us putting this two-week exclusion, we'll actually motivate them, and that'll help you and work in your favor because that'll get them off the fence. So that's what I would have said, Marianne, in this scenario, okay?
Okay. I think, and maybe you can help me phrase it properly as well, I think that if I come to them and if it turns out that him buying the house at $635, you know, will net them more money, I think that she will ask him for $645 to give me $10,000 for all my time and energy and effort.
Well, here's how I would actually present that to try and sell it to those buyers and for you to still get paid. What I would do is and I do want to say one other thing before I say this, okay, is that I just don't want us, I want to be careful that we're not being too selfish here about you getting paid, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only reason why I say that is because what disturbed me a little bit is that you don't want to work this area. You don't want to do the open houses because you don't want to build that business. And so my coaching would have been, well, listen, Marianne, if you're not going to give 100% to your seller, then you should maybe take the listing in the first place. You should have referred it to another agent and get a referral fee for it, because it's not fair to do that to the homeowner. So,
absolutely. But I have done the two broker caravans, four open houses. I mean, I
okay.
have.
All right. Okay. Good. Now, what you could, by the way, what you could do, and I'm just going to say this on the side, if you don't put this deal together and you still have the listing and they want you to do some other open houses, you know, what I would do is work with a local agent and maybe give them all the leads that come from that open house. So you still honor what they're asking for, and you're actually helping another agent locally with another real estate company to get some leads. So if you didn't want to build that business, so that's a
I've
way
gotten
that people...
I've gotten no leads. Nobody. I'm telling you, nobody comes in. They don't even speak English for the most part. And they just, you know, they shake their head. They're very, very gracious. Shake their head, bow, take their shoes off, walk around, and leave.
Okay. I think that now, how much of a mortgage is on this property, by the way?
Well, I did their mortgage for them last year. I did a reverse mortgage for them, and so now they've got a $417,000 mortgage, but most of it is just cash in their pocket.
Okay.
You know, they pulled out a lot of cash, so I'd say they actually owe $200 on the house.
Okay, so they owe $200 on the house. We're looking at, so there's a lot of money there. There's over $400,000. Yes.
Yes.
And how much is the house costing them every month to hold it? Do you know that number?
Well, again, because it's a reverse mortgage, it's being tacked on the end. So that's a good number. I should know that, but I'm going to say somewhere around $2,400.
Okay, so here's a couple of things. I think your HUD statement idea is a really great idea. So you're asking 698, you want to get it down to 680. There's two parts to handling this question, okay? First, we'll go back to those buyers in a second, okay? So the first thing is I would do the HUD statement to show them the net number, but I would also include in that how many more months you think at this number it's going to take for the property to sell. So if they stay at 698, based on what's happened thus far, and that's what I would do too. I would sit down with them. This is going to be I want you to consider this like a listing presentation for a price adjustment, which means
it's a long distance. The mom and the daughter.
That's fine. Okay, then you do it over the.
They live up north.
You'll do it over the phone, or you'll ask them to come on down and meet with you, one or the other, okay? If they're in the area to see their mom, who's in a nursing home, which I would hope to God that at some point they would get their ass in a car to go see mom. So if they're going to do that anytime in the next few weeks, I would schedule the face-to-face meeting that way. If not, then you'll have to do it on the phone on a conference call. And
mm-hmm.
then you're going to have to do some emails and all that stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the first part, and you know what I would do? There's a way to send a PDF document with a password protection, meaning that when you send the email and it has an attachment of what I'm about to tell you you should send them, they will not be able to open it without the password. The reason why I'm suggesting to do that is because assuming that you don't meet them in person and you send them the email and say, I really want the three of us on the phone so we can go over this, the fact that they can't open it is going to motivate them to have a call with you and not to look at it until you're on the phone with them, because you want to control how they interpret the information. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you send them the information, and here's what you should send them. You should send them all of the marketing that you've done since you got the listing. So the more mm-hmm. you show them, and it could be in a simple Word document where you're listing it. I'm more visual, so I like printing out a publisher calendar and writing it in the blocks of the days on the calendar, what was done, whether it was the broker's open house, public open house, an ad, phone calls, flyers, any of that stuff. So you want to show them that we've been on the market for this long, and this is what I've done. I would show them, based on that, here's how many showings we've gotten. Now, based on that, here's at this price, here's how much further I think it's going to take until it actually sells. And, of course, the longer the number, the better. So if you say that it's going to be another 4 months till it actually sells or whatever that number is, then you would have to look at, all right, now let's just look at what does that mean as far as cost is concerned. And then I would show them, well, 4 additional months of the property not selling is going to cost you $2,500 a month. That's another $10,000 just in carrying costs, assuming the $2,500. The other thing, too, is I would also say is if they were to sell now and they took the $400,000 and they invested it in something that actually gave a return of, let's say, 15% a year or whatever that number is, they're also losing that return on that money. So I would add that. So the point is that you want to beef up. Honestly, the longer it stays on the market, the more it's going to cost them. Are you following me so far?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So in doing that, then I would show them, all right, well, if we lower the price to $680, which, by the way, Marianne, I don't know if that's a big enough drop to make the property move quickly. So I want you to reconsider the $680. Now, I don't know your market. I don't know pricing. Maybe that would make it move. But from $698 to $680, that doesn't sound like a big enough drop. It's got to be a drop where the agents go, whoa, this is a shiny penny. Whoa, we're going out to show it. You want to price it in such a point that you're going to get like a surge of buyers coming out. As a matter of fact, it's almost better, and I would explain this to the homeowner, to actually get so aggressive with this property because some of the challenges we're having with this market, the feng shui and the fact the house faces southwest, north, and all of this stuff, we have to make it more attractive. We can't, so we have two things to do. Move the house, which is not going to work, or we have to make this more bang for the buck. And then you can use, like, you know, a Walmart when they do the rollback thing, or what's another analogy? Kmart, they do a blue light special. I mean, how you move something that has obstacles, which we have, is that you've got to give more bang for the buck. And right now we're asking a fair price, but the fact that it's got all these challenges, it's not bringing the activity we need. So what we need to do is create a blue light special and get a ton of people out. I'd rather us here's what I can promise you. We're not going to give the house away, because if the lower we go, the more buyers are going to come. It's going to create a buying frenzy, which actually will help drive the price. So what I really like to see is that we lower the price so much that it actually creates a bidding war. And if it doesn't create a bidding war, well, we didn't give it away, you see. So we can't lose by going as low as we think is a good number to go. So that's how I would present the price and get a really low, low number. Are you following
mm-hmm.
me on this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. The other thing I would say to them, too, is, you know, don't keep this in mind, too, is that, you know, a bird in the hand is worth two in a bush. You actually getting this property moved quickly is actually better for you than just right now. It's frozen equity. You can't tap into it as well as you can. And the reverse mortgage, it's actually costing you money. There's a reason why banks do that, is because they make money at that. So we want to have the bank stop making the money and you make the money. So let's cash out as quickly as possible. Then you both will have more freedom to take care of your mom and do whatever you want. So I would like push hard to get the lowest number. So I ain't even thinking 680. I'm thinking mm-hmm. 670. I'm thinking even 650. Okay, because I'd rather go 650 and then have buyers come in and drive it up to 680. You're following
right.
me?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, once I get that lowest possible number, now I'm going to then talk to the neighbors. And I'm going to tell the neighbors, here's what's going on. Now, and I would explain this to the sellers. Now, here's one other thing, is I'm going to see if I can help put that deal together with you with the buyers. But if I'm with the neighbors, but if I'm going to do that, then we have to get rid of that exclusion. And because I'm going to now go to them and I'm going to try and see if I can get this number for you. And I would then get them to undo that exclusion before I call the buyers, okay?
Huh.
The neighbors, all right? So once I get the low, 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 low number, now I'm going to say, all right, now I'm going to see if I can help you with this neighbor, because I have an idea, maybe I can get them in on this number. But in order for me to do that, I need you to just confirm that I'm still going to get paid, because I'm going to do the work to put this deal together, okay? Otherwise, I can't put it together. So I would get rid of the exclusion. Then I would call the neighbors and say, all right, here's what happened. So the homeowners have come down from 698. They're really serious, and they're at this number, 660 or 675, whatever that number is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you can get these buyers up from the 635. Now, if you can, if you get them up to 650, then you have a choice to massage your commission. You know, if you want to drop your commission down, you know, so that way the sellers are losing a little bit, but not too much. You're losing a little bit, and you just put the deal together. Okay?
I like
that's
that.
My advice. You like it?
I do. I like that. That's a great way to approach it, and I'm going to do that today.
All right. Awesome. All right, Marianne. Well, good luck with that. Send me an email. Let me know how you made out, okay?
I will. And when are you coming back out to California?
Well, actually, I'm coming out the end of August. August 25th is the first day. We're doing a four-city tour, but it's up north, San Francisco area. So, but if you want to get the information to share with friends or family, or if you're up that way, it's kickoffseminar.com. Kickoffseminar.com.
Okay.
Yeah, all one word. All right, sweetie. Thank you. All right, everybody else. You're welcome, Marianne. Everybody else, I feel like this was a really productive, powerful call. There was a lot of good stuff in there I think we covered. I didn't get to go through the magazine. The magazine is self-explanatory. I want you to go through it, open it up. There's some really great ads. There's great this month we put in some great letters, just listed letters and flyers to generate leads. There's great icebreakers in there, too, that you can use on a listing appointment. One of my favorites is page 27 to show a homeowner, and 26 to actually give, and 28 to give to a homeowner when you first go on a listing appointment, just as a gift, a checklist to help them, and some other stuff, charts and testimonial blurbs. So anyway, take the time to go through the magazine, print it out. You know, if you just use one or two things in there, that's an awesome thing. The problem with the magazine is probably so much you can't implement it all, so just pick one or two. All right, gang, thanks for your call. I hope this helped you. Don't forget, we do not just listen and sell property. We actually help people get to their next level in their life. So the more people we help get to their next level, the more sales we make, the more people we help, the more money we get paid. Money is a reflection as to how many people you have helped and touched. So go help and touch a lot of people. And don't forget, build relationships with people. All right, God bless you. Thanks for calling in. You're a power agent, and I look forward to talking in the next call. All right, but gang, bye-bye.